So, how do we want to kick this off then? What do you want to? What should the intro be? Should we just play with it?
Welcome back to Humanizing.
Yeah,
is that not it?
Oh, I think that sounds reasonable enough to me. Welcome back.
Hello, and welcome to Humanizing, the podcast that allows you to understand how you've been programmed by both evolution and culture so you can liberate any behavior you choose and be who you'd like to be today. I'm Ginny. I'm the map holder. I'd like to introduce Maheen.
Hello.
Maheen is the explorer. And together we will journey through this programming so you can understand through the questions you ask and definitely the questions Maheen asks, how to liberate yourself and be the most amazing person that you choose to be.
Roll up, roll up.
Life's got in the way, as it does, and the actual fact we're not a publishing house or a set of celebrities or a magazine or whatever. This gets recorded when we can.
Speaking of, absolutely. It's actually very timely. There was a post yesterday by Mr. Stephen Bartlett himself on LinkedIn, a photograph of him with his head in his hands, talking about how he had overcommitted. And it was a post about how he is trying not to do that anymore.
I wouldn't suffer from that at all.
Exactly. She's being sarky, guys.
Sarcastic, being silly.
Being mega sarky.
There's always too much to do and not enough time. And there are too many things that need to be changed and done and made a difference to.
Absolutely.
Because I can't believe the difference.
For those of us who are minded.
That mic has. It's great. It's really, really cool.
Right? Guys, I'm recording for a podcast studio.
We're getting all grown up on ourselves.
Guys, I'm in a real podcast studio. I've got headphones and a real mic and a Rodemaster thing.
That sounds like you're in a truck.
Come to me. I'm just vying for Rodemaster to sponsor us. I better learn the name of the thing. Rodemaster, Classic A Servo Biased Preamp Aphex on Board.
I have no idea what that means. Personally, I'm unsure. Neither. Everything is sure. I didn't order it either.
Oh,
I get
beautiful.
Him indoors to do that.
I'm working on a Podcast Pro microphone.
So, what are we doing back then, kid?
I just think we want to talk to the peeps about programming, reprogramming, unprogramming, just being brave and thinking about what you think about.
Well, that sounds pretty deep. Do you want to explain a little bit more?
Okay, so let's use this upcoming election as our starting point. For various reasons, this is a really important vote. For me, one of the main reasons is that we've been governed by people in a party that I certainly haven't voted for any time recently. And so I think it's vitally important that we come out and tick the box, mark the box that means something to us. It's also the vote where we're going to have ID. So it's going to exclude a huge number of the population who don't have it, can't afford a passport, don't have a driving license. They don't have a form of ID that they can bring to a booth. And that's a real problem. That's excluding this right from people, which I think is disgraceful. But it's also a chance for us to take the temperature of the world stage and really think about who we want in power so that we are safest. And I don't know, I feel like if we don't really start critically thinking about what a safe, healthy, unified world looks like, and then voting like that.
So I have a.
We're going to keep repeating it.
That is, I don't think any of them are that, or I'd vote for them. I have always been challenged by the fact they're all incredibly short-termist. They only care about the next 3 years. Why would they not? Because that's how long that's how long they're in power. And if you're managing anything to do with the country, surely your focus should be 50 to 100 years.
Yeah, have a big plan.
And then And but then are we arguing technically for the democracy, if that's what it truly is, to work in a different way? Because you can't focus on 3 years. Some of the reasons why the what are called dictatorships, and I completely understand that can be viewed in that way, such as in the Asia and in Russia, but they plan for 150 to 100 years out, right?
China has a 500-year plan.
Where's ours? I mean, that would change it, because it would be so, it would be not the plan, but how you executed it that matters.
Well, so you and I talk about how what we in the West called indigenous populations view ourselves as part of a wider ecocycle, recognizing that we've been here for a very long time. The planet's been here for a very long time. We've arrived at some point. It's going to go on way beyond us. And we have a little flash in the pan moment where we have to make it, preserve it, be part of it, and not destroy it, because it's going to be handed over to the next generation of people. If we viewed our political system in that way, recognizing the power that we have, it's probably a different conversation to be had there, we would treat it differently. If we treated our political globe like we treat, actually, we probably shouldn't treat it this way, how indigenous tribes treat the actual earth upon which we live, where we make sure there's plenty for everyone, we don't overdo it with, you know, our taking of resources. Yeah, we'd probably have a very different political system.
Oh, totally. And, you know, we've not actually had this political system for a long time. You know,
tell me more.
I think the first prime minister in England, somewhere around 1720, 1730, someone's going to write in and tell me I'm completely wrong. But I think it's Robert Palmerston who's recognised as the first prime minister. And, well, 17, even if it was, say, 1700, not that long. Sorry, I whispered. It's not that long
ago.
It's like a couple of hundred years. So why we think...
Whisper on a podcast,
know,
and they were
not hear.
Whisper on a podcast. It's like me nodding my head in earlier episodes.
Well, they can see you now if they want to. We've become old 21st
they can.
Century. But it's Bye, not guys. Been around that long. And, well, 200-300 years, if that. And yet we all accept it as though this is the way of doing things. Doesn't have to be. It just happens to be the one we will remember and have written down. And I'm not arguing back for the divine right of monarchy or anything like that before, because even then that wasn't around for that long. That was only about, even in the UK, you know, we're 1,000 years. This is nothing in the whole human span of history. Human history, let alone planetary history. If we're looking at planetary history, we may as well go, oh, blink your eyes, that was the humans. They don't really matter. They'll be gone. I mean, the Earth could quite happily be waiting for that, but she says they're going to get rid of all of themselves soon, so I don't have to worry about it. Blink of an eye.
Exactly. So are we voting for the Green Party then? Is that what we've discovered conversation?
I said my biggest problem is I'll know people I would vote for not parties, because none of the parties ever have a long-term plan. And that is a problem. No business runs on, well, very few businesses run on a three-year, we're only going to look 3 years ahead. So why would
Absolutely.
You run the country that way?
I didn't study politics at all during my formal educational years, so I don't know whether there's something in the teaching of it that tells, you know, those of them who are minded that way, you're only here for a flash in the pan, so get done what you want or what you think at that time, and then let the people after you clean up the mess. And that's kind of the cycle that keeps going.
I don't know. I know some stuff about politics. I would hazard a guess that, like history, politics is written, all political theories are written by the victors, which doesn't mean it's right. It just means they won that particular time. And there's a lovely phenomena which you see happening about how people vote, and I can't remember where I saw this, but if you start off young, most people start off Labour, earn money and get more and more right over the time. So start left wherever you are and get more and more right over the time. The more money you have, the more right you go, apparently.
Got you.
And I believe that's underpinned by the cult of the individual. So we believe, or we've believed from the past couple of hundred years, that everything's you, it's all down to you. So if you're taught that the only person who will ever look after you is you and you have to do stuff, the more you have, the less you want to share. But if you're taught it's who we are as a group that matters, you wouldn't ever behave like that.
It's such an important thing, isn't it? So the reason I was clicking was because I read a quote by Jurgen Klopp the other day, who said that he'd never vote for the rich 1%. Of course, he's translated to be a Labour voter, because no matter how much money he makes, he can afford to pay that tax. So he doesn't want the loopholes in place for those people who have a ton of wealth, because you have a ton of wealth.
But he's very unusual. And so, I said, this is what happens. Most people start left and go right, because, as I said, I believe the underpinning is the fact it's the cult of the individual. If you decide you don't want to believe in the culture of the individual and you believe something else, you will do it. But that's not a globally held viewpoint.
Do you think it would be different if we nurtured that viewpoint?
But then again, what you would be doing was be dismantling 250 years of a way of thinking and probably 1,000 years of religious education, which is also founded on it's all you.
I can do that. I feel fine with that.
Let's get on and do it then.
I feel really excited about that, actually. Let's start dismantling it.
And I mean, lots of things we've talked about on what we do here is to give you the ability as an individual to look at how, and I saw this word written down the other day, I'm still not sure about it, individuate. How do you take personal responsibility for what you want to do? So you're an individual, but you get to take control and not be a programmed part of the system. And that, to be fair, that's what we've talked about from different angles, right, since we very first started this, is you are programmed, whether you like it or not. But you have choice if you want to take it.
So when we talk about deprogramming, we're talking about you becoming conscious around your thoughts,
and feelings. I think you have to recognize you feel first.
And feelings.
Then you'll think and then you'll behave. Yeah.
And in that consciousness comes, in time, if you're minded, a bit of interrogation, because that's the thing that changes you, really. Is that you're, why do I behave like this? Why do I feel like that? Why do I want this? Why am I?
Yes, why? Is it my choice or is it something I've never thought about? And one of the
absolutely
things we'll be doing in this sort of series of programs, whatever you call podcasts, I can't remember now. Episodes. Is bringing people in who have walked that journey, as it were, and started to interrogate their own ways of looking at the world and whether they actually decided that or it was something they'd received via whatever osmotic process happened in their surroundings to think something without challenging it. Because that's the insidiousness, isn't it?
This is probably quite an interesting place for you and I to start as we go on this journey, continue on this journey together, is can you think of a moment or an experience or a time that made you go, oh, what?
As in how I stood back from whatever else was going on and thought, I don't want to be like that. I might have to say, I think I've always been like this in the way as I never understood all the individual. It just doesn't happen in my head. I don't understand why you don't do stuff for everybody and not for everyone. I never have, right? Perhaps like I'd be a Jurgen Klopp if I ever had that much money, which I doubt. But I've never understood it. I still don't get it. I don't think I'm ever going to understand why would you take just for you, take too much or take just for you. Because I remember a thing going back years ago, and it is years because I'm very old, at school. So it's 40. probably 40 years ago.
I think you should own that. This is wisdom
no,
we're talking
it's
about.
History.
We talk about a. We talk about if you were a cheese
oh, yeah,
or a wine, yeah. you would quite rightly be bloody priceless. You are as a human. This wisdom
okay, so
is
this one.
This is
I,
you
I
know.
I shouldn't put myself down. Ideally.
Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely not. I will.
Good.
I will not let you. That's my first
yes,
interrogatory ma'am. Act here. I mean, I've got a half a head full of grey hair. I've earned these stripes. I'm taking it.
So when I was at school, so two things. One happened when I was really young. And I only know this story because I've been told it, because I'm a bit little to remember. I think it was about five
okay.
or six. But I was in primary school. And in England, that's between the ages of 5 and 11. And I'd... the headmaster of this little bit of this junior school, because we were in the infants and there's juniors. Anyway, he brought me out because my grandma came to pick me up. My grandma, I have to say, we've talked about it before, was a force to be reckoned with. And I have no idea why she came to pick me up. I can't remember this. All I know is the story. I will remember seeing my grandma in a fur coat in June with shoes. So she must have come from a business meeting. Anyway, so she stands there. I can see her put her hands on her hips like, what? And she's tiny. She was like 5'1". I mean, huge personality. What's it? Ran a great business. 5'1".
It was what we in modern times call
oh,
a pocket
definitely.
Rocket.
And she knew it.
yeah.
So good. I was wondering, and had a black eye, apparently. And the headmaster was coming up with me because apparently, for some reason, he knew my grandma was going to come and pick me up. You know, these details you lose as a child.
Yeah.
And I don't remember why that
yeah.
would have been happening. Could be my sister was being born. Mm-hmm. I had no idea. Anyway, she picks me up and she looks at me and she looks at headmaster and she was scary. And the story she tells me, well, it was Virginia, obviously. And I know he got pulled up for that because my grandma always called me Ginny because she hated my mother.
Okay.
And she got a black eye because she tried to stop someone being bullied and she got in the way. Oh, and it won't happen again, et cetera, et cetera. And I was 5 or 6 because I know where it was and I know which school I was in at the time. And then if I look consistently at what I've tried to do with my life, is like it. I don't see why people don't want to be fair. So I can't tell you a particular moment in time when I stood outside this social conditioning and said, no, I personally think I have, it feels like for me anyway, I've always looked at it and gone, why are you lot doing that? And it doesn't look right. Why would you take more than you're going to eat or take stuff and then not share it with someone else or use something too much? I don't get it, right? I seriously didn't come out of the box that way. I came out of the box with going, you know, you're not selfish. You're not jealous. I don't know. So there you go. That's a very, very, very long-winded way of saying I think I was born this way.
Yeah, fair. Nature, nurture.
Yeah, because definitely wasn't nurture. We didn't grow up, you know, the 70s and 80s were not a time of, well, we know what Margaret Thatcher says, there's no such thing as society. She couldn't be more wrong. So what about you? Is there a particular moment in time when you went, oh, no, that's really wrong?
I think I'm similar to you in that I came out this way. However, I remember the moment I thought, what is this they're showing me? And how is this okay? And how are people not... How is this happening? And it was when Britain went to war, she says in inverted commas, with Kuwait. And the BBC News, the 9 o'clock
oh, so
news
that was a, we were,
broadcast...
Sorry, politics moment then. There, so we, that was... What's that? I'm trying to remember. Was that Labour
it was
government?
Yeah.
Just saying they're all as bad as each other.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think my world came down around my ears tenfold in this moment. It was lots of stuff happening at the same time.
So 1990s, the British forces would know it as Operation Granby. Desert Storm.
Yeah. So I was 10, 11, maybe, a bit older maybe. And I remember watching it on the news, sitting in my parents' house, thinking to myself, I'm watching bombs drop on people and they are dying on TV. And that, if you were born and raised in this country through this education system, the key message of all of the education that you have around wars is lest we forget.
Oh, God, yeah.
Every English class is war poetry. We read
Rupert Brooke, Siegfried Sassoon, Wilfred Owen.
Right, yeah. We read Carrie's War. We read The Diary of Anne Frank. We, you know, wear poppies. We go to the war memorials. We have, when you were raised in 80s, 90s England, the way I was, lest we forget was massive. And I thought that was a really wonderful thing. I thought it was really important. I'm absolutely a pacifist. Absolutely. So watching that, it pulled the rug out in a million different ways. Suddenly we weren't lest we forget, because we'd forgotten.
Or had we conveniently been remiss with the actuality?
Yeah, that too.
Using AI, I'm quite sure we'd made it fit for us. Statement at the time, it's a bit like, and you know,
right?
You can argue everything's great in hindsight, because the more we move forward, the more we know about the decisions we made in the past. But one of the reasons the United Nations and the European Union became who they were was because we didn't want to forget all of those things. And it's almost as though if you have generations who that didn't happen to, who didn't fight and who didn't do that and didn't go through those things, that it's forgotten, because it's not something you experience. So your general population's motivation for not going to war or not supporting the political parties who would want to execute that, it's not something I know. So how would I know how bad it was, to be fair? And I find that continually challenging, that today we have something, you know, we have a humanitarian disaster in Gaza that no one seems to want to do anything about. And it doesn't matter what we do, it's still being prosecuted. So what can we do?
I mean, march.
You see, I'm not sure that we've tried that. It doesn't seem to do anything, you know.
I don't know. We'll do stuff. I mean, I'm a big fan of the boycott, divestment, sanctions. I think money is where our power is.
I would agree.
We're a capitalist society. So.
Or not buy something, that's very true. But I think it's coming back to this thing of, and sometimes I think this happened over COVID as well, which is the people who are in power are no better than you and I or anyone else. And they don't know the right answers. They know what they know now, and they know what they think. They probably think what they're doing is right. But none of them are any cleverer, any better, or have any further right to be in power and make the decision for a country and for you than you or I know. And that's why it's so important for you to think about what you want to do, even if it's not vote. I mean, I'm still not, there is no one I want to vote for. I have this complete fit. There are individual peoples, but there are no parties, because I don't trust any of them, and I don't trust any of them ever to represent either me or our country in the way it should be represented on a world stage. And I will not be told by anyone that they do, because it's quite patently obvious that they don't.
So would you be a spoil your voter?
I haven't decided yet. I'm a swinger in that respect. I'm a swing voter. No one's got my vote, so I'm up for my vote. That said, in the area of the country I live in, to be fair, Marheen, doesn't matter. And that's why I want to.
Is it a fairly safe seat?
Representation.
Yeah, I think that's really important, actually. Yeah.
I'm not sure if everyone... I didn't realise what that was till I started to look it up, why my vote didn't actually matter. But proportional representation isn't done on a constituency or seat basis, which, you know, goes back to the the what is now House of Lords controlling how votes were done back in the day. It's the fact that my vote would go into a great big pool, and as our overall country, the vote would be taken. So it would be the proportion of the vote of every single person. So where I am, it doesn't matter what I voted. We are solid Conservative, and I don't think that would ever change. And therefore, I'm disenfranchised. I have no power. Proportional representation would give me power, but it would also change the political landscape of the UK.
I think therein lies something where we can meddle, because I think that, as we sort of said at the top of this, there are lots of people out there who vote out of habit and or because they're, to quote Thatcher again, sadly, the lady's not for turning, but actually be for turning.
Oh, just, yeah.
Each time.
Or at least consciously think about it.
Be for turning.
Right.
Yeah. And if you ultimately are, you know, blue as blue can be through and through, and you like everything that they represent, or
I was
going to
say
that
enough, I'm not sure you'll ever like anyone, but enough. I mean, in my heart of hearts, I'm a liberal. As liberal or social democrat party as would have been in the early 80s, right? As in the what's it five? Now we're talking about stuff no one else will remember, but the SDP as was, which came together and with liberals. I've always been liberal, you know. I'd defend everyone's right to free speech, even people I don't like or whose opinions I don't agree with.
Yeah, that's an interesting one, isn't it? Free speech versus hate speech. We talk about that a lot. That's a hard thing. Does it make someone unsafe, the things that you're saying?
No. I don't see it. This is really interesting. It's something that's come around in the past, what, 5 or 10 years. In the end, I should be allowed my opinion and you should be allowed yours. And proper debate comes from hearing all voices, not making all voices quiet, even the ones you don't want to hear. It's not up to you what they think. Going back to your thing, which is what we'll be doing with some of the people who are going to be coming in to be interviewed, is intellectual debate and access to knowledge changes people's minds, not shutting them in a corner.
Yeah, if you don't have the tricky conversations, it's a hard thing, isn't it? If you're going into a conversation to have your mind opened, then brilliant, on both sides. If you're going in to make your point and stand doggedly by your point, I mean, it's not worth wasting your time having the conversation, I don't think. But if everyone comes into a conversation being curious.
Totally. So one of those questions might be, and we're going to close shortly, would be, why have we killed curiosity? Well, why and how? I mean, I know how, what I think about that, because if you're not curious, you'd be controlled. But this, as we say, is probably a topic for another time. And I'd like to briefly close on the fact we might have touched on loads of things which are political and emotive today. But as a country, we're moving into that period in time, and it would be remiss of us to just stand by and not discuss how a lot of those things have been programmed into who you are, because this is why humanising exists, is a list to give you a couple of things over a cup of coffee, and I've been drinking mine, that might make you think differently, might make you stand back and stop and think.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you for coming on the journey with me, with us.
Well, you're the explorer, Maheen.
I'm off. I'm bashing into the undergrowth of our brains.
And into all that programme, prodding around, gallivanting within that programming. What we want to do, as we've always done with this, is help you understand why you feel, the thoughts that you do, and then the behaviour behind that. So you have a choice of how you behave and who profits by it. And if it's not you, and it's not humankind, then stop and think and go, who's controlling? Who's behind my steering wheel? So I want to invite you back, whether you're on a walk, going for the train, on that commute, taking a bath even, cooking, driving a car, wherever you find yourself, come and find us. We will be waiting.